Now recall Anslinger's claim, which he later withdrew in the face of the medical community's insistence that there was no evidence to support it, that marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. In the late 1930s and early 1940s, defendants in a series of well-publicized murder trials happily exploited that statement by offering, what else, insanity defenses on the grounds that they had used the drug prior to committing the crime. At one of these trials, our official expert was asked to testify about the substance's insanity-inducing properties. In his testimony in a Newark, New Jersey court, Munch admitted to having used the drug himself. When asked what had happened when he had used the drug, he answered, "After two puffs on a marijuana cigarette, I was turned into a bat." As a bat, he flew around the room for 15 minutes, he said. Naturally, this was all the defense needed to hear. Accused murderers in that trial now testified, "After two puffs on a marijuana cigarette, my incisor teeth grew 6 inches long and dripped with blood." All marijuana insanity defenses were successful. Meanwhile, Anslinger informed Munch that his position as official expert would be jeopardized if he continued to testify that he had become a bat. He stopped testifying. By 1970, the federal government dropped the charade that this was all a tax measure and simply prohibited a range of substances. No constitutional justification for this new prohibition has been offered. We do not treat alcoholics as criminals and throw them in prison. Politicians enjoy drinking alcohol, after all, so that would never happen. In the same way, drug abuse is a medical problem, not a problem for courts and policemen. Families, churches, and communities need to take responsibility when people harm their lives with drugs. Clogging our courts and prisons with cases involving people found in possession of tiny quantities of prohibitive substances and who have never done any physical harm to anyone makes it all but impossible to devote the necessary resources to tracking down the violent criminals who really do threaten us. Over the past 2 decades, more people have been imprisoned on drug offenses than for all violent crimes put together. And that is not to mention the continued erosion of our civil liberties, for which the drug war has been responsible. The failure of the federal war on drugs should be clear enough from one simple fact. Our government has been unable to keep drugs even out of prisons, which are surrounded by armed guards. The fact is, drugs are already available to people who want them. That is the nightmare scenario that people fear, but they fail to realize that we are already there. Poll after poll finds the vast bulk of high school and college students easily able to acquire drugs if they so desire. That is how black markets work. Prohibiting something that is highly desired does not make the desire go away, but merely ensures that the supply of that good is provided in the most dangerous and undesirable manner possible, and endows criminal sectors of society with additional wealth and power. As with so much else, the constitutional solution would get the federal government out of the picture and leave the issue to the states. Regardless of where one stands on the broader drug war, we should all be able to agree on the subject of medical marijuana. Here, the use of an otherwise prohibited substance has been found to relieve unbearable suffering in countless patients. How can we fail to support liberty and individual responsibility in such a clear-cut case? What harm does it do to anyone else to allow fellow human beings in pain to find the relief they need? What kind of compassionate conservatism is this? As usual, this constitutional outrage enjoys bipartisan support. The Clinton administration issued threats against states that permitted medical marijuana, warning that it would bring charges against any physician who prescribed it. In 2005, Clinton Supreme Court appointees Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer both upheld the federal government's alleged power to prohibit medical marijuana, even in the dozen states like California that had voted to allow it. Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, which do not allow medical marijuana and have tough drug laws, issued a joint statement saying that although they opposed California's policy, they were even more strongly opposed to a federal government that could overturn that policy and, in effect, make up its powers as it went along. The constitutional arguments in favor of allowing the federal government to prosecute medical marijuana users, even in states in which ballot initiatives have made the practice legal, are an insult to the American people. They are based on a complete misunderstanding of the Constitution's Commerce Clause and what its scope was supposed to be. On the other hand, if you'd like to see how the issue is dealt with by someone who actually cares to consider the original intent of the Constitution, then treat yourself to Justice Clarence Thomas's eloquent dissent in Gonzales v. Raich, 2005.